Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Proverbs 22:4 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." When we humble ourselves, now listen to this. This is really important. We humble ourselves and there's riches and honor and life that you are given.
If we humble ourselves, God will give us honor and riches and life. That is what Scripture tells us. Romans reminds us to look out for others and not to think more of ourselves than we ought to put others first, look to their needs. That is humility. God exalts us when we are humble. With more on guarding ourselves against pride, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with part two of our Bible study from last time, Romans 12.
There's nothing that we have that we can take credit for. Any gift you have, anything you have at all, you have been given. So you should not be proud of it. Don't think more highly of yourself than you want to, but think soberly. The word sober, right? When you're drunk, you're not sober. It's clear, you're thinking clearly. So you want to think clearly about who you are and your deficiencies. Now, this is easier said than done. It's hard for us to really humble ourselves enough. I'm persuaded of that. When we get done this evening, our goal is going to be that we would humble ourselves, and then when we think we're humble, humble ourselves a little more, and humble ourselves a little more. That's where we're going to see that we really want to be. So I thought in the spirit of the text we're covering, I would give you 7 scriptures on humility. It's not all that there are. I could have chosen a lot more, but I thought there just 7 seemed like the good number to use tonight. So Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." When you boil everything down and you just have 3 things that you need to do, when you take all of Christianity and you turn it into 3 things, these are the 3 things: that you do justly, that you treat people around you right, that you don't slander them, that you don't take from them, that you care about them, that you love them. That's justice. You would do justly. You would do what is right. And that you would love mercy. Now, mercy is connected to justice. If I'm going to be just with you and treat you right, then maybe you'll offend me. And maybe you'll be deserving of my wrath because you offended me. But I'm not just to do justly. I'm also to love mercy. And so when you offend me, I'm not supposed to hold that against you. Because doing justly is when you get what you deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve, only in a bad way, right? You've done something bad, you deserve bad things, but now you love mercy and you give them mercy. And then finally, and walk humbly with your God. That's the commitment for all of us. And somehow we have to deal with that desire inside of us. And this isn't new to me. I was the one who came up with the fact that all of us have something inside of us that makes other people want to think that we are more spiritual than we are. I learned that from Pastor Chuck. As a teenager, listening to Pastor Chuck teach, thinking the world of him, hearing him say, "Well, I have more pride in me than you know. I want you to think I'm so spiritual." And I'm like, "Chuck? Chuck wouldn't do that. There's no way Pastor Chuck would do that." But he admitted that he did it. And we all ought to look deeply in our hearts and go, you know what? There's a reason the Bible says so much about pride. Proverbs 22:4 says, By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. When we humble ourselves, now listen to this. This is really important. We humble ourselves and there's riches and honor and life that you are given. That's a pretty amazing thing. If we exalt ourselves, we're going to see not good things happen. But if we humble ourselves, then God will give us riches and honor and life. That's a pretty incredible verse. And if there is a secret in Christianity, this is it. That true success comes from humility. When we humble ourselves, that's when we'll gain real success. And we'll do it for His glory. We'll do it for His sake. We'll do it for His fame and not for our fame. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit." Don't do anything out of selfish ambition. This ought to be read at every pastor's conference that there is. Every pastor that comes to any conference anywhere ought to hear, don't do anything out of selfish ambition and conceit, because we need to hear it. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Rather than thinking, you know what, I'm better than most of the people in here, you ought to think other people are better than me. You really don't have any idea. You really don't have any way to assess whether someone is better than you or not. And so you can feel superior, but you're supposed to see other people as better than you. He says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest." Yeah, we're to look out for our own interests, but also look out for the interests of others. Now we're getting into that idea of the life that we have in the body, that we are not to just look out for our own, but we are looking out for other people's interests. James 4, 6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Do you notice again all of the positives that are there? We're going to get into the negatives of what pride will do in your life. But so far we've seen that what we just read, that God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He'll resist you if you are proud, but when you humble yourself, God gives you grace. That's undeserved favor. That's what we want from him. We want that undeserved favor in our lives. We want God to be the one to lift us up. Peter says the same thing in Peter, but he says that he's a lot more long-winded. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. "Likewise, you younger people." So I'm looking at you younger people now, all right? "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." You guys are supposed to submit to us older people, okay? Then it says, "All of you be submissive to one another." It's interesting to me that the verse that says, "Wives, submit to your husband," right before that says the same thing, "Be submissive to one another." See, if we're really walking humbly, then we're really submitting to one another. I love the passage in James that says that the wisdom that is from above is peace-loving and willing to yield. We're willing to yield to one another. That's the wisdom that God gives. So be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now that's a picture. You're actually putting on humility. You're actually wearing humility. That's radical. That's not just like, you know what, I need to be humble and I need to humble myself. That's actually making your identity connected with being humble, that you really humble yourself. Be clothed in humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, that's the same thing that James just said. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, back in the 70s, there was a group called, Matthew Ward was part of a group back then. Matthew Ward did a song called Humble Yourself Before the Lord, where he sings it over and over and over again throughout the entire song. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. It's such a good thing for us to understand. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God's the one who is mighty. Humble yourself before him that he may exalt you in due time. Notice again the connection to good things happening to you when you humble yourself. Proverbs 16:8 says, now we got to switch, we got to change. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, we've connected the haughty spirit before a fall all the time. If any of my friends fall down, they're going to get pride comes before the fall. They're going to get that. It's going to be, what did you do? Because pride comes before a fall. So you're too prideful. Years ago, this is the late 80s or early 90s, we only had one service. We were in, or I don't know how many services we had on Sunday, but we were in the small chapel, and at this time it probably sat about 450 people. And it was a Thursday night service, and it was packed. Standing room only. We'd been going for only a few years. And my brother-in-law was visiting, and he is an officer in the Navy. In fact, he really climbed the ladder later on. But I was really excited about him being there. I mean, he was accomplished. He was an officer in the Navy. And when he came, I thought, man, this is great. You know, Peter's here, and he's going to see all the things that we're doing. And so our worship group gets up to sing their song, and Doug Martin's leading, and Tina Carson is there, and Randy Ritchie. It's all the people from the old days. And they're up, and they're leading worship. And when they're done, I kind of pop up, and I skip up on the stage. I'm all ready to start teaching because my brother-in-law is there, and the room is packed, and this is great. And I trip over a cord, and I hit the stage. And I don't mean I hit the stage like the bump. I mean like, hoo-pah! People gasped. They're still standing because of the last song, and they're, you know, and then they're like, did you see that? He fell down. Now, I was in my late 20s or early 30s, so I bounced right back up. I was like, boo, 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 boo. I'm right. I'm okay. And then I looked back at that cord like it had caused a problem. Stupid cord. Who left that cord there that tripped me? I think God literally took me down for a fall in a moment of pride. I was like, this is so good. And then the worst possible thing could happen. If there's any night I didn't want Pete there, it was when I fell down on the stage. It's the last thing I wanted. You think God wasn't involved in that? You think God didn't go, you know what, Robert, you're just thinking a little too much of yourself right now. I need to bring you down a notch or two. But that's not the scary part of this verse. Because I can recover from a fall. If pride comes before a fall, I can fall and I can recover. But the first part of the verse, the one we don't talk about much, is much worse. Pride goes before destruction. And haughty spirit before a fall. I don't want destruction. I talk about all of the good things that happen when we're humble and how God exalts us and lifts us up and does those things. And then when we're prideful, God says there's destruction. Earlier tonight, we were talking to someone about the song by Barry McGuire called Eve of Destruction. That's going to date you guys. You younger people will not know who Barry McGuire is or what the Eve of Destruction is. Just out of curiosity, how many people here know that song? Raise your hand. Welcome all my older people. All my older people with me, I appreciate you. It was 1965. It was in the movie Good Morning Vietnam. It was in the movie 4th of July. You guys would know the song if the song played. I'm pretty sure you guys would know it. If you saw those movies anyway, you guys would know that song. But don't you know, Barry McGuire sang, we're on the eve of destruction. Well, it's a lot of years later, Barry. I don't know that we are. But maybe if we are prideful, we are on the eve of destruction. Maybe God's about to bring a whirlwind into our house and bring destruction if we're prideful. If you've been listening this far and not been convinced that you need to be a humble person and respond humbly, this ought to make you, because this is God's word. It's alive. It will happen. And so pride comes before destruction. That's the biggest warning that there is. The final verse is Matthew 23:12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Why would we want to be exalted? For God's glory, not for our own. If we exalt ourselves, we'll be humbled, but if we humble ourselves, then God will exalt us for his glory. That doesn't mean that everybody who is exalted by God, because they may be exalting themselves. God doesn't judge everything overnight. God's judgment takes time. And sooner or later, the judgment will be revealed. But if we humble ourselves, then God will exalt us. And I want that. And so my encouragement to you, my exhortation to you, is to humble yourself and then humble yourself some more. And then humble yourself some more. And if your temptation is to go, you know what, I think Robert's wrong. I think there is good pride. Humble yourself some more. Don't mess with that. The Bible's too clear that pride is to be laid aside. And if pride is laid aside, there's a passage that says, be associated with the humble. I love that verse. Be associated with the humble. Don't just look to rub elbows with those who are important. In the 1990s, I had an invitation to join a board on Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. It was a senior pastor's planning board. And a lot of things were discussed about Calvary Chapel in general at that board. It was an incredible privilege for me to be invited. It was an amazing thing that I got invited to it. I got to go, and Greg Laurie was there, Skip Heitzig was there, Raul Reese was there, Chuck was there, Brian Broderson was there. This is just a room full of people that are big names in Calvary Chapel. It didn't take me one day to realize that these guys were just like me. Rubbing shoulders with Chuck, trying to sit as close to him as they possibly could, trying to say something to hear Chuck say, good job, well done. I learned a lot about Raul Reese in the early 90s when he came to do something for us. He came and he did a study, and afterwards he said to me, like only Raul Reese could, you know, was that a good study? He was asking the same thing I ask my wife when a study's done. If she doesn't say anything to me about a study, we probably don't get out of the parking lot before I say, did you like the study? What'd you think of the Bible study? It's good, right? It's good, I think. I think it was good. What'd you think? And I realized he was just like me. He was looking for someone to affirm him that it was a good study. But you know what? I think that's a better place to be. That makes me feel good about Raul Reese than had he just gone, yeah, I'm Raul Reese. I did a study. People got saved. You know, it's because I'm Raul Reese. But instead, was it good? You think it was good? I'd listened to him on the radio when I was in Albuquerque when I was a kid. When I first started, you drive at 15 years old in Albuquerque. So I was driving at 15-year-old. I was listening to Raul Reese on the radio. Then to have him ask me that spoke to me about what real humility is. And I really pray that God uses this message in my own life, in your life, that we would humble ourselves before God, that he might be able to bring fullness and life and riches and exalt us, and that we would humble ourselves so we aren't living on the eve of destruction. To quote Barry McGuire one more time. You guys got to look up Barry McGuire and his Christian songs, by the way. He's got a song called Cosmic Cowboy. I'm on a rabbit trail now, but you got to look it up. Cosmic Cowboy. You got to listen to that. Let me read these next four verses because these set up the study for next week and I'll wrap it up. So verse 4 says, as for we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So all of us have different gifts, and we are one body, but we don't have the same function. So it's the same thing that he's talking about in Corinthians when not everybody's the eye. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. We really belong to each other. That's the fellowship that we're supposed to have. That's the koinonia that we're to have in a fellowship. We're to interact with each other in that way. It says, having the gifts differing according to the grace given to us. So they're different gifts, but they're no less important. When I think about the early church, one of the gifts is exhortation. And I think about Barnabas and his part in the early church. Barnabas also had the gift of giving. We'll talk about. And so a lot of times these gifts are, there's more than one. You can have more than one gift. I look through these gifts and I see two of them that I think that apply to me. You guys might go, no, you're wrong. Prideful. That's what you are. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And then it gives the first one in prophecy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. So next week we'll go over the seven different gifts that we've given. We'll talk about prophecy and why that can be so dangerous. And I'll close with that. Because when you're speaking in prophecy, you're hearing from God. And so if you're hearing from God, then you can be like, I'm hearing from God. I've got the gift of prophecy. It can be the most dangerous one to have out of all of them. No wonder God says, let one speak and let the others judge. That's almost like a humbling thing built in. One person speaks for God and everybody else is judging them. And you're like, well, I don't want to be judged by everybody. But you wanted the gift of prophecy. So when you get the gift of prophecy, that's what you get. And maybe God built it in on purpose because he knows that we lean towards being proud. So three things. These all fit with humility, by the way. It's kind of like I knew I wasn't going to make it out of the first verse. First of all, your gift is God's grace in action. God has given you a particular gift. As each one of us has received a gift, minister that gift to one another. Everyone in here has a gift. Your gift is grace in action. God's grace in action. Use it humbly and use it well. Be a steward of the gift that God has given you. Number two, humility keeps our gift from becoming about our glory instead of His. Because it's a gift from Him, we could receive the glory instead of God. And Jesus said, when you do your good works, do them in such a way that men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And number three, the body of Christ works best when every member serves. And I really mean that. It works best when we're all involved. It works best when the people who aren't here are here working among us. Because the Bible says, don't neglect the gathering of yourself together, as is the habit of some. Now, I realize I'm preaching to the choir on Wednesday night, people, right? You guys are here. You guys are here on Wednesday night. Churches don't even have Wednesday night services anymore. Not very many churches have them, but you guys are here. So you guys are the ones who understand it. But it works well when we all work together. When we each take time to learn, what is my gift? And what is my place in the body? And how can I use that gift here in the body that I'm a part of? And no one thinks too highly of themselves. That you wouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Just say, thank you, God, for letting me be a part. Let me be used by you. And may God work that out, that we might humble ourselves. So a prayer you should never pray is, God, humble me, okay? That's a scary prayer to pray. God, I want you to humble me. Well, we're back to the eve of destruction now. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the time that we can spend here in your word and consider the concept of humility and walking before you in a humble way. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would use us, fill us, strengthen us. Help us to find our part in the body. Help us to find our gift. If these seven gifts are gifts within the body of Christ, then which one do the people that are here have? I pray that you would reveal these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.